hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Post Game, SideQuest Patreon podcast all about hot takes on cold games. And let me tell you, we've got an ice cold one today. I'm Melissa, I'm SideQuest editor-in-chief, and I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Nassim, I'm our managing editor, and I use they, them pronouns.
I'm Zora, I'm our assistant editor and copy ogre, and I use they, them pronouns.
Rad. So for this episode, we all played Nina Freeman's LostMemories.net, primarily because we wanted to talk about Neopets. And yeah, it was kind of like, what are we going to talk about Neopets? And I was like, oh, have you played LostMemories.net? Because that reminds me a lot of my time with Neopets. And here we are. We're shaken to our Neopets formed cores. So we're going to talk a little bit about LostMemories.net. We're going to talk a lot about the internet. And we're going to talk about Neopets. Because who doesn't love Neopets?
Neopets.
Don't love Neopets?
Correct.
That's fair. They're all starving to death. We've abandoned our children. Let me tell you, I recovered my 20-year-old account. Thank you. Shout out to the Neopets customer support team for recovering this account for me. This website is a fucking graveyard. It's depressing. But let's talk about it. And let's talk about the internet, because I think it's interesting. And also, we have different experiences, and I think that's interesting as well. I'm tired.
It's no, it's wild, because as we were talking about getting ready for this episode, we glossed over our different experiences, and there are 6 years between us, so like our ages range over 6 years, and our experiences are all very different, I think. And it's like I'm a little bit thrown by it, right? Because I definitely feel that we are the same generation. Like, we are peers, for sure. But this is such a, like, the internet was advancing so fast.
Yeah.
In the 2000s. That it means that, like, depending on how old you were when you jumped on and what year that was, your experiences are all going to be wildly different.
Yeah, like, were either of you using AOL? Not AOL Instant Messenger. I mean, like, the AOL message boards.
Absolutely not.
Dad would not let me. So
I was really into the Pokemon board.
It's amazing. I love that.
It's great. I had a crush on somebody on the Pokemon board.
Oh my god. So I barely used AIM, guys.
AIM was my life. I had like 8 different screen names.
I maybe had one.
I got into it kind of late, so I know I was using it as a freshman in high school, but I don't think I used it before or after, and it was just to talk with friends.
Yeah, I mostly use it to talk with friends and then people I met on LiveJournal. I did not use it for role-playing because it takes me a lot. I'm a slow-ass fucking writer, and I don't like having pressure via instant messages. Yeah. So my first question for all of us is, what age and what year did we collide with the internet? At what point did the internet enter our lives and change us forever?
So I can start. I would have been 2003, because we would have moved out of my mom's apartment and into our own. We being me and my father. I guess it was my father's apartment. I had no part in leasing that space as I was 8 years old. So 2003, moved out, and I was suddenly the single child of a father, and this resulted in me being incredibly lucky, and ending up with a desktop in my room, because my dad does this thing. He worked for a university, and whenever they would be like, it's time to give you a new computer, he would be like, can I buy this old one off you for really cheap? And they'd be like, I mean, I guess it's old and crappy. And he was like, thank you. So we always had a kind of alarming number of like old shitty computers. Anyway, so I ended up with a computer that I could use, and a father who was busy and had depression, and was a very good dad, but wasn't at all a helicopter parent. So I had a Neopets account, and that's where I spent time. I mostly played games and was like very independent on it, but it was the beginning of me like having public internet access, which is to say having a public presence on the internet. I think I also had AIM at that point, but I don't I didn't do
what year
much.
Was this?
This was 2000, between 2003 and 2005.
Okay.
I can give you months.
I was just curious, because I'm like trying to think about how that maps onto my AIM experience, and I'm like, how much was I using AIM at this point?
For reference, I was in fourth and fifth grade.
Damn. That was my freshman year of high school.
I was a little baby. Oh, yeah. That's also, I guess, important is that I am now 26. And I was born late in 1994. So it might help for me to use grades for this, because I think my experience is like, I'm basically always, I've always been a year younger than people would expect me to be for anything.
Nassim, do you want to go next, or you want me to go next?
No, I can go, because mine is mostly like murder. Because childhood trauma, I don't have a lot of childhood memories. But I know for sure that I was at least using email to respond to my classmates by 2003, because the kid in my class who I had a crush on, who was the only kid that was my age, because I was in a Montessori where eight grades were stuck in one room, we were corresponding with email, and he sent me a very dramatic email the day that our school closed about how I was in love with him and how I was a freak of nature or something. There was some gender stuff in there. It was a whole thing. I was 11. He was like 13. So we were babies. So somewhere around there, I was using the internet. My dad was very tech savvy at the time. And so I must have started Neopets around there, because I know for sure by the time I was in eighth grade in 2004, 2005, someone had introduced me to, what is it called? RuneScape? Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
The MMO. Yeah. And by then, I didn't play for very long. By then, I was like definitely had been playing on Neopets. And I also just played the games mostly. I think I did some maybe baby coding on the home pages. And then around 2004, 2005, when I was in like seventh, eighth grade, is when I discovered fanfiction.net, which is where I spent the majority of my internet time on there, besides like various blogs. So yeah, it was pretty, I mean, the game stuff aside, it became very social very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I should maybe mention that like, that's when I started being on the internet, but I didn't ever stop.
Right. Well,
like through I was very, very, very young, to the extent that it's hard for me to remember that time in my life because I was so young. Mm-hmm. And because like my way of interacting with the world is so different now, I kept using like, I was on like writing.com for a while. I was on DeviantArt for a really long time. I used Gaia Online. And then eventually I was on the holy triumvirate of Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook.
Nice.
Which curse me to this day.
Did you skip over MySpace entirely, just
completely
age-wise?
Missed MySpace.
Interesting.
Some people my age had MySpaces, but very few of them. MySpace was, people my age were online when MySpace was a thing, but we were a little bit younger than the people who were on MySpace. It didn't have bright colors or games, so it was not particularly appealing to the 9 and 10-year-olds.
That makes very sense. Fair. Yeah. I think I was a freshman when I made my MySpace. This was in the days where I would have like a string of numbers as my password or my email, because my dad didn't want me putting my information online. So that's smart. What I remember from MySpace.
MySpace holds a lot of memories for me, but that's...
Yeah, I never ever had a MySpace account, and nobody... I was super close to had MySpace's account. MySpace accounts either.
I had MySpace drama.
Oh, wow.
Because of how I ordered my top eight.
Oh, my God.
Which resulted in me listing the cartoon character Inspector Gadget as my number one.
That's a fair way to avoid drama.
It's a little bit complicated for me because I didn't have internet access on a regular basis until I was in high school. So I actually started using the internet regularly around 2004, 2005. But my Neopets account, archaeological record of my Neopets account indicates that I started using Neopets October 6th, 2000. And I remember this because little baby Missy had a crush on a girl in her karate class. And the girl in her karate class told her about Tamara Pierce's Alana books.
Oh my God.
Oh and my God. Neopets.
Holy shit.
So that's what Baby Missy went and picked up.
Yeah.
I love that.
Did not understand at the time that I had a crush on her. As an adult, I look back and I go, aha. but Yeah, so I started my Neopets account shortly following this discussion, and I played a lot of it, but I could only play it at my dad's house because he had internet and computers, and I did not at my mom's house. So while I was there, and while I was spending weekends at the hospital, not because I was sick, but because my living situation was fucking bananas, and Neopets was not blocked, I spent every goddamn waking hour on Neopets, looking for secrets, participating in the site-wide events where they had like mysteries that were they were essentially ARGs where you would kind of like comb through the site code mm-hmm. and find messages and that kind of stuff that would advance mm-hmm. the story. I was very bad at them. I was 11.
I distantly remember that stuff, and I remember thinking it ruled, and I also remember being like deeply intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm. Usually what I would do is I would wait until someone would publish the steps, and then I would go recreate them.
Yes! Yes!
So I only had internet access at my dad's house until he moved away. And then I ended up at my grandparents' house where they had AOL, and I spent a lot of time on AOL forums talking about Pokemon. And then eventually I returned to Neopets to roleplay incessantly. Mm. I love thinking about my OCs, my roleplay OCs. They are so bad and so cute. My very first roleplay character was an X-Men OC who, I shit you not, had pink hair and cat ears.
Oh my God.
I feel so strongly about this baby roleplay character. I don't remember anything about her other than the pink hair and cat ears. But this continued, like, I continued to use Neopets as like a roleplay access point until I was in my early 20s, which maybe is embarrassing to admit, but like, who the fuck cares?
Who has the energy to be embarrassed about that stuff? Yeah. Like, yeah. Genuinely.
Yeah. I was also a very heavy live journal user, particularly for fandoms. And that was where I spent the bulk of my time, was hopping between AOL Instant Messenger, live journal, and Neopets roleplay boards until I was probably... Oh, and Snopes. I don't know. Snopes now has like this like cool, like it actually does like fact checking and stuff. Back in the day, it was all Urban Legends, and the Snopes horror page haunts me to this fucking day. I loved that website so much. I would sit and read creepy shit all night at the hospital because I love to freak myself out, apparently.
Oh, God. At the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the ER.
Cool.
Why did I do this to myself? I don't know. But that's who I was as a young 12 to 13 year old. So yeah, that's kind of my introduction. We talked a little bit about like how we were using it, but is there anything we want to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned that you were on Snopes.
I don't know how I got there.
But I used the internet as like a, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. I was not highly interactive in places where you like that were built on posting your own content and didn't have much else, so like DeviantArt. Mm-hmm. I would post artwork, but I wouldn't necessarily spend a lot of time like going around and commenting on other stuff or having interactions with people. I would like things or favorite them. I don't know what the hell you did in DeviantArt. And so I would spend time like on DeviantArt looking at stuff, and I would give whatever the equivalent of kudos are now on AO3. But I didn't take initiative to like have interactions very much. And the same goes for Neopets, where I wasn't like posting my own stuff. And I'd like play with my pets' blog pages, but I wasn't engaged in like the forums in any significant way. On Gaia, I was minorly engaged in the forums, but not in a lasting way. I would go on the ones where you'd give out free art, and I'd start a thread and I'd be like, yo, post here if you want me to draw your avatar. And I would do that for a while, but I wouldn't necessarily like make friends or continue relationships. It wasn't a space where people really made friends or continued relationships. And the one like thread that was people hanging out and chatting was something that I was attached to because my close, like real life friend was part of it. And so I was sort of like a hanger on. So I never really formed strong relationships on the internet until legitimately Women Write About Comics. Like, I'm not joking. Mm. Like, WWAC was the start of me forming external long-distance friendships that were not already somehow connected to me through a person I knew in Meatspace.
That's so interesting. Mm.
Yeah, I'm like fundamentally, deeply terrified of social exploration online. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really use people's physical presence to like get a beat on them. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that online. It freaks me out.
That's fair.
So did you... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
My question... So like, this is going to sound like a dig. It's not. But like, yeah. Did you have nerd friends? Because I did not have nerd friends.
Yes. And this is, I think, a very important thing is that my father... I don't know that he's like a nerd and that he like is into like Doctor Who or whatever or anime. But he is nerdy in that he understands and engages with like kind of hyper fixating behavior. And so he was always able to engage with me on things that I got really into, right? And so even if he wasn't like out here like, oh yeah, I love Naruto, he could be like, I see that you, my child. Well, he never actually cared about Naruto because I read that online. But he was like, I can see that you like manga, so I'm going to buy you these series and see what sticks. And so, like, you know, so I could engage with my father on that. And also my friends in real life, like, we talked about manga and anime and, like, freaking Sonic and played video games together all the time. I had that in real life. And I think a big part of that is that my father did not ever treat it like something I should be ashamed of. So I was able to like externalize those interests and find friends who were also into those things and not have to go to the internet for it.
Okay.
I think that's something that I had to an extent as far as like my friends were into, you know, fantasy books and pop punk music like I was. But a lot of them were also homophobic.
Yeah.
So I turned online for a lack of judgment there. And also... I could not get a lot of my friends into the same fantasy books that I liked.
Oh no!
And like my friends just weren't as excited about 1999 hit film The Mummy as I was.
Tragic, honestly.
Yeah. And so I think I found a lot of that creative expression online because my friends read fan fiction, like for sure. They would tell one of them forced me to read her Harry. No, not Harry. Her Draco Hermione fanfic, oh, and I was appalled. she was very into
that's specific and not in a way I want to be.
Yeah, my friends and I had some overlapping interests, but they were also very different from one another, which isn't inherently a bad thing. But I think I always felt a little bit lost.
Yes,
and so I would find fans of those things on Neopets and on LiveJournal where I could just like gush with excitement about whatever goddamn thing it was. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Dead Like Me, my weird, like not weird, like these are popular things, but like these niche-y interests that like didn't have popularity among my friends. And so I did have like a pretty active social life on LiveJournal and on Neopets where people would also share those interests. Was that the case for you as well, Nassim?
Yeah, I mean, my like, I just like didn't have like nerd friends at all. I somehow like I look back and I'm like, how is that a thing? I lived in a big city. I should have had at least one nerd friend. And I felt like the internet. I mean, so like not the homophobic thing so much. My friends, we were at an age, or I remember it was still a thing when people came out in high school. Like it was still a big deal. But I was very fortunate that I did not get like a homophobic vibe from either my friends or weirdly my parents, despite them being Muslim, which is a stereotype. I mean, not all Muslims are homophobic, obviously, but they are like not, they're a little bit more traditional or they used to be at that time in some of their views. So, but being online was like a way for me to explore these nerd interests that my parents were like, why are you, my parents definitely were supportive of many of my interests. The manga and anime thing was not one of them that they really understood.
It's expensive.
It is expensive.
It is expensive.
I spent so much money on manga. It's like $10 a book. You'd go to Borders.
Yeah, my dad would buy me like 3 volume ones once every very rare once in a while. And then I would spend some time at the library.
Yeah,
that or was in Borders.
Smart. Yeah.
I had one friend who had like every goddamn manga and video game.
Oh my God.
I also listen, wow. Manga Fox, RIP to a real one.
Was that a thing back in the day? Like being able to read manga online?
For me, when I was doing it in middle school, in my basement, yeah, for sure.
Interesting. But yeah, I also, like, I use these spaces, so I was, like, to talk to with other nerds. I was really excited about that. I didn't feel infantilized. I think my friends made me feel infantilized for liking anime, because I have a distinct memory of being really embarrassed that I was, like, super hyper fixated on Yu-Gi-Oh for years. And felt like very embarrassed by that, where I had all these friends who were also like my age. We were all teenagers, and they were also like, yes, we're going to role play Yu-Gi-Oh and like write all these Yu-Gi-Oh fan fictions. And then through that, I was able to also explore like my sexuality. The queerness thing would not really click for me until later, even though everyone I was writing was basically gay. But which is also like, that's another kind of interesting discussion of like how many teens, I don't know about now anymore, but used to use fan fiction as a way to explore sexuality, and especially those that thought they were straight and thought they were straight women, since there is like that relationship, I think, for people who maybe appear to be straight women and maybe are not, being interested in, but there's also the fetishization. Anyway, so yeah, that was kind of like my online experience was mostly like around that and learning to write through that experience as well. But that kind of happened incidentally, I think, to the social aspect. I just felt much more understood by my friends online than I did my friends IRL. I think
what you say about feeling judged by your friends, I think, really resonates with me as well. Again, like, my friends did share a lot of my interests, but I mean, there was the homophobia angle.
Yeah.
But there was also just like, our interests would overlap, but not in a way that worked for me. So for example, I had a chunk of my friends who were really into manga. I was never super into manga, but I read it now and then. And like the big anime among my friends and manga was Gravitation. Sorry to everybody who just like had a horrible flashback to high school or middle school. Mm. I'm right here with you. If you're not familiar with Gravitation, it is a manga and anime series about, now I only half remember this, so it is about a band, and there's a romance between like this, okay, I'm so sorry to dredge up this again.
This is where our 6-year difference terms. Comes in, like, is so apparent, because I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So at this time, there, and I don't know if this still exists, like I said, I'm not huge, I've never been huge on manga or anime, but like this one was like a particular like moment of realization for me. There's a relationship dynamic in yaoi manga, or was rather, the distinction between seme and uke.
Oh, God. Yep. Okay. Yep. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that was a big thing in this particular manga, because you had this very gruff, mean protagonist. I don't remember if he was in the band or not. And then there was like a younger, very sweet, almost childlike character, and they were based on these or maybe inspired, who the fuck knows, ideas of like who would top in the relationship. And
man,
I hated this anime, because I thought that the one guy was so mean, and my friends loved it. Like, they're like, oh, it's so romantic. And I was like, they're so mean to each other. I don't get it. He's so mean. I don't get it. So, like, we would have this overlap of, like, we like anime, but then there would be, like, the strict division between me and my friends of, like, what was cool and what wasn't. Because Gravitation was cool. The shit I liked wasn't cool.
So, I'm going to digress very briefly, but through late middle school and high school, I did Aikido pretty seriously. And in Aikido, there's when you are, so there's like the person being thrown and the person doing the throwing, right? You can see how this may cause linguistic overlap that's problematic. And the practice of throwing, of like being the person in control of another human being's body, is called ukemi. And let me tell you, the friends who were really into yaoi, I did not talk about Aikido with them.
That's fair.
I didn't.
Oh, man.
Because unrelated concepts immediately would destroy the conversation. Like, yeah, it was jarring. It was like little Zora understand, like, very abruptly learning that people who were into anime and people who like thought critically about Japanese culture were different.
Yeah, it was a time to be alive.
It was a time to be alive.
Was a time to be
and
alive.
The thing is that like I was so much more interested in the Aikido stuff than I was in the gay sex manga. Yeah. like zero, like I did not read yaoi, like I think pretty much at all, because I didn't care. I was like, listen, you're telling me that I can either read a tournament arc about this kid with a big hammer, or I can watch men be uncomfortable around each other and then suddenly uncomfortably not uncomfortable. I'm gonna read about the kid with the big hammer and then I'm gonna go throw someone across a room. I'm aromantic.
Yeah, I think so. Like for me, I was a very I'm not aromantic, but I was a very late bloomer in terms of like I was like I don't want to think about sex, I don't want to talk about sex, I don't want to talk about romance, I don't want to think about romance, like I'm not interested, which was strange among my friend group and earned me some derision. So I was really uncomfortable with like a lot of the conversations that my friends were having, especially because a lot of it was centered on this relationship dynamic of, you know, Draco, Hermione, like no shade if that's your ship or whatever, it just isn't for me. Or the Semeuke relationships. And so a part of the reason that I turned to fandom and online communities in that sense was because like there I could find representations of different kinds of relationships. Like as much as Semeuke was a popular thing, I could still find fan fiction about two people of the same gender, usually men, because all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't cool to write about girls ever.
It really wasn't. Sad.
Which was rough for me as a young bisexual. But it was a relief for me to be able to turn to these online communities where like you could role play. Well, could in very large scare quotes, because you would get your account frozen on Neopets if you role played gay characters. I went through accounts like once a week. I was getting frozen. I wasn't role playing anything explicit because I didn't do that. I didn't like that. I was like, I'm super not here for this. I think I just wanted to see people who had interest in people of the same gender, like interacting positively, not hating one another. And so online communities helped me find and express that, because as much as there was that like Semeuke dynamic, there was also just like sweet fan fiction about two people having a picnic or something, like, you know, coffee shop AUs and that kind of stuff. I don't think that was, oh no, I did write a coffee shop AU in high
Hell
school.
Yeah.
I take it back.
Well done.
Awesome.
With a high schooler's understanding of how coffee shops work, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. It was like, you know, one person played music at the coffee shop, and yeah. Anyway. That was something that I could find online that I couldn't find among my friend group. And Neopets and LiveJournal and those kind of things like helped connect me with people who we maybe didn't identify ourselves as bisexual or queer, or we didn't like necessarily use those words, but like there was a shared camaraderie even without actually having that like shared language for each other. Mm. And that's something that I think that lostmemories.net, which is a game by Nina Freeman, has like, it's not the sole focus of the game, but like mm-hmm. the fact, so in this game, if you're not familiar with it, you play Nina, as you often do it in Nina Freeman's games, like a middle school version of Nina, although this resonated much more for me with high school Missy. And you switch back and forth between designing your blog, which is like part fan site, part like live journal feeling blog. Blog has kind of a different connotation now than it did back in the day. I say as I shake my cane. But you kind of hop back and forth between designing and downloading icons and stuff with which to decorate your blog, and then instant messaging your friends, both your only online friends who you met through fandom and your real life friends, navigating this love triangle between Nina, her friend Amy, and her friend Jared, because Nina also has a crush on Jared, and Amy wants Nina to set her up with Jared, and it's all very, very dramatic. But that experience of like having different social spheres while also being like spending my time doing this creative activity of like decorating my blog, in this case usually my Neopets pet pages, which I used to showcase my roleplay characters, or my live journals where I was either showcasing my fan fiction or my extremely vague personal problems. That really resonated with me, that hopping back and forth between social spaces, and like there was really no difference between the way I communicated with people, but at the same time like they were very different social spaces, and I'm curious about how that did or did not resonate with the two of you.
I think so. My online spaces were primarily extensions of my real life spaces, so the cast of characters didn't always completely overlap, but I spent the people who I spent time online with were the people who I was closest to in Meet Space. I hate calling it real life because the interactions that people have online were very, very, very real. And so like I get it, but I started saying Meet Space when I was like 18 or something, and I kind of haven't stopped. So I apologize in advance as I continue to cast that like visual curse upon everyone. But yeah, so the Meet Space friends that I spent time online with were the friends that I was closest to in general, and are by and large the friends that I still keep in contact with today, even if it's distant. It's a very much like you know, we follow each other on Twitter, we have lines of communication open even if we don't use them. And I don't know, I think I thought a lot about, okay, the thing that I did have was different friend groups, and again there was overlap, but like I was a different person with my friend who I played D&D with and that group of people than I was with the friends who I ate lunch with. And I wasn't like a dramatically different person. I've always been extremely bad at like putting on different hats.
Same.
But we talked about different things, and over time some friends fell off and some didn't, and the ones that I spent time with online and the ones that I spent time with like playing D&D and stuff are mostly the friends that I still talk to today, because I think ultimately it became clear to me that that was a more comfortable representation of the person that I was. So like same thing, but Meet Space.
Gotcha.
I only started having a secret Twitter in like 2016, maybe 2015. And that was just because I was realizing that I was trying to like be a person in publishing or in comics and stuff. And so instead of posting anything on Twitter ever, I was posting nothing on Twitter ever, because I was like, what does this say about me? And I was like, what if I just lock this down and have one where I talk to my friends? And it was a great idea.
Smart.
Sounds like a lot less stress.
A lot less stress. And so Twitter became what I think Facebook was for some people, I guess, at some point. And I don't even use like Facebook. I check Facebook, but I haven't posted on there in a year.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I logged into my Facebook.
God bless.
I used it a lot in high school, though.
Yeah, I used it more in high school.
How about you, Naseem?
Yeah, I mean, I also, like I mentioned, I felt like I could be the truest version of myself with the people I knew online, because we were able to, you know, engage with these interests that I felt shamed for otherwise. So I was definitely, as it is, I'm a pretty private person, I've realized recently. There's some aspects of my like experiences that I'm very open about, but in general, I'm very private. And that was the case then too. And I just didn't really realize it. So I was able to use these online spaces as like, but I also process things by talking it out. So I was able to use these online spaces in order to like externalize and process things with people who I didn't feel judged with. But yeah, the experience, I mean, definitely more than Zora. It sounds like for Missy, I was like very focused on romance from a young age. like one of, like wildly focused. I was like 5 years old and I declared that I needed to find someone who would marry me. Like, oh, I was very young, and it didn't come from a place of like desiring romance. It came from a place of insecurity of like, I'm never going to find somebody who loves me. I'm never going to find somebody who thinks I'm, you know, once I got to the age of thinking of attractiveness, like attractive, that's really where it came from. And so I was like hyper-focused on this from a fairly young age. Once I started developing crushes, I think being online helped mitigate some of those feelings. I did not actually, you know, the people I role played with at the time or like was online with, they were all at the time identified as female. I don't know what they identify as now, which is, I think, help me not realize that I was queer for one, like I was very focused on boys. But it meant also that I didn't, like, we didn't have a lot of drama, weirdly enough. The sort of stuff that comes up in Lost Memory, like in-person drama, I don't know if I ever had like a shared crush with a friend, but I knew the feelings. I felt very strongly for Nina, imagining that she was actually 14 and not in fifth grade or whatever the fuck, because
yeah.
I definitely, the feelings of trying to navigate who I am and feeling more understood online was like very, very accurate.
It was interesting watching both of you play through the game. And by watching, I mean reading your notes from when you played through the game. because you both were talking a lot about identifying with Nina, and Nina reminded me a lot more of my other friends. And for me, it brought up a lot of the feelings of alienation that I had at that time, because social media and my friends and their like experiences that they would talk to me about didn't at all match up with mine, which was like, I didn't care about boys, capital B boys. I had male friends who were my friends, but they weren't like boys, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were, anyway. Well,
they weren't like some of them. Mystical. Yeah.
Some of them were boys. time reveals many things. but like, you know, I had those friends, but they weren't objects of like romantic potential for me in the way that I felt like I was supposed to conceptualize them. And the least pleasant memories I have of high school are when I found through various mechanisms that they considered me an object of, not all of them, but like select male friends revealed that they considered me an object of romantic potential, which is to say, some of them asked me out, some of them did it in creepy ways, some of them did it normally, but it was just like continual. And then when friends who at the time conceptualized themselves, and we conceptualized ourselves as female, when those friends would like wax poetic about relationships or get into relationships, I constantly felt like I was standing on a shore watching people sail off to a sea that I could not cross and did not want to cross, because it was simply not the experience of relationships that I had or wanted to have. And so while I really identify with the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of loneliness for me was much less, nobody will ever love me, and much more, people conceptualize love in a fundamentally different way than I do. And I don't know what that means for my future ability to like engage with people. Mm-hmm. I was having some real existential fears.
It's fair.
And then this game brought it all back up.
it's really interesting, because like I, as a teenager, the further somebody was away from me in terms of like social standing in high school, the more likely I was to have a crush on them. I didn't have crushes on people close to me because I didn't actually want a relationship.
Interesting.
I wanted them far, far away as objects of distant affection. With one single exception, which I think in my notes, when I talk about having a crush on a boy, what did I actually say? I would hop back. I think I said something about hopping back and forth between working on my live journal, writing an angsty live journal post about this boy I had a crush on who was talking to me at the time, and then telling, you know, my friend everything that he was saying to me. That was the one single time I had a crush on somebody who I actually spoke to. And it was a fucking disaster, let me tell you. but I think like just I think I really liked the idea of romance, but I didn't actually want it at that point in my life. And I think that was something that really drew me to fan fiction, and something that like that also like I felt expressed through Nina's actions in this game, because like I would have a crush on somebody, but I would never, ever, ever act on it or tell somebody. I would bite my tongue forever rather than, I guess, be confronted with the possibility of rejection. But also like, I didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah.
Like it was big secret. And my friends were all dating or expressing that they wish they were dating somebody. And I was just like, I have a crush on this boy, but I wish he would never speak to me again, because it's awkward and embarrassing. And I think part of that, I mean, part of that comes from where I was in my life. Part of that also comes from like one of my friends at the time, her brother was older than us, and him and his friends would loudly speculate on which of the group of friends would be the first to lose their virginity. And I was unanimously voted first.
Wow.
Jokes on them. They were super wrong. But there was this obsession with sex and dating in my friend group that I felt really alienated from, even though like I still wanted it, just in some kind of distant, far off space. I just wanted to read about other people kissing. I didn't want to read about myself kissing. And so like, despite the fact that Nina like in this game clearly does seem to want a relationship with Jared.
I tried my very best to play her as not.
How did that go? I'm curious.
Fascinatingly. So it was because the whole point of lostmemories.net is that you identify with Nina, right? Like that is I think fundamentally necessary for the game to work, or for you to be like academically incredibly interested in the lives of teenage girls. But I had the most fun. I was the most engaged in the game when I could project my own experiences onto her. And I think I was bored sometimes when she was like, you know, performing romance or performing romantic interest. But it was pretty easy to imagine that as a performance, right? Like, because lots of queer people have to perform romantic interest to maintain relationships, because that's the thing that's expected to do, either that you're expected to do. And the thing that I did not do a very good job of in high school, you may be shocked to know that the friends that I am still super close to are the ones that I did not have to do that with very much. Go figure. But I was able to do it enough. I was able to do like enough vague dissembling when people are like, when Amy in particular was like, is there a boy you like? And I could be like, I don't really care. And it felt like the game intended that to be a lie, but I felt that my Nina was being truthful about it, which actually made the very end of the game, spoilers for lostmemories.net, when Nina's like, Jared and Amy are dating, I felt profound relief. Like, and it was a very familiar relief. It was a relief that I have felt before, when at the time male friends started dating somebody. I was like, thank fucking God I'm off the table. I don't have to pretend to be engaged with this anymore. I don't have to pretend to care. I can genuinely express joy for them, or not genuinely express joy. Some of these relationships were a fucking mistake. And I was like, and so it was replacing one problem with a different problem. But there was a relief in no longer having the problem be me. And so she's like, Amy and Jared are dating now. And I was like, thank fuck. But Nina's sad. And so I was like, whoa, this is so weird. I did not expect this emotion to be raised so powerfully. Because the way she was sad is not the way that I was sad when like my closest friend would get into relationships. In those cases, I was like, well, second fiddle again. Hell yeah. We're back, lads. And this happened multiple times. Like, I multiple times had a crew of three friends, me, my best friend, and we kept having friends who like would start going to high school one year, and then at one point one girl graduated because she was older than us, and then the other time the world imploded. Because did you know that mental illnesses get worse at 16 because your brain chemistry changes? I know that intimately.
This tracks.
Yes. Yeah. Between the ages of 15 and 18 or and 19, a lot of people's like brain chemistry does a little backflip and gets problematic. And so a couple of my friends in my friend group had pretty drastic like mental health swings. And then I went to college and I was like, we outie. But multiple times in that stretch of years, my best friend started dating like the third person in our friend group. And every time I was like, what is happening again to me? Why these two always? And then it happened again in college, which was exhausting, but worked out better. Not with the same friend, with a different, like I was again friends with two people and they started dating. And I was like, what, am I cursed? Like, what? How? Why? That one worked out okay for me specifically. But that's not how Nina was portrayed. Like, Nina was portrayed as having like her sadness was very, it felt much more straightforward. It was like, the boy I like is dating another girl and it sucks. But it didn't dwell on my best friend is now dating and that sucks, which is the thing that I experienced a lot. And there was absolutely no relief expressed.
It's really interesting for me to hear your experience because, like, despite the fact that we have different experiences, which is redundant to say,
yes.
a lot of what you're saying does still resonate with, like, the amount of relief I felt when my friends would start dating somebody. It was like, oh, thank Jesus, thank God. Like, leave me alone. I can't handle your relationship pining anymore.
Profound relief. There's no more pining. I was no longer like, I'm a bad guy for rejecting you. It's worked out. It's fine. You're fine. I don't have to worry about you being creepy at me. One friend left notes in my locker pretending to be a computer.
Oh. What?
It was dark. It was a dark time. High school sucked.
Yeah, it truly did. How about you, Nassim? Like, how did Nina's experience like map or not map onto your high school experience or middle school, if that's where you want to go?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I don't even, what a middle school. So, and I can't think of like the specifics I don't think necessarily mapped. I can't remember ever liking the same person someone else liked, which thank God, because I was the Nina that was saying, oh, but my friends are so much prettier than me. And sadly, that was kind of a verifiable fact because puberty was not kind to me. Puberty's not kind to a lot of people, but it was really not kind to me. And so the thing that really resonated with me was all the self-deprecation. The, like, I'm not pretty, but, like, no one who was gonna, like somebody like me, like, that stuff, I was, like, I could have written that. Also, the, like, I wrote down here, the nice guy is being nice and I like him is also a mood. Like, there's several times I fell for people just because they were nice to me. Mm-hmm. Or just like, oh, and now I have a crush on you. Okay. I was, like, in love with everybody every other day.
I was the other side of that. I know, I feel a little bit like that's humble bragging, but let me tell you, expressing a modicum of knowledge about country music and then literally three conversational moves later getting asked out, it's not good.
I did not do the asking out.
No. But no, Nassim, I totally feel you on the... I had a crush on like everybody.
Yeah,
like,
I really feel like I did.
Despite the fact that I did not want relationships or attention, I was like, I have a crush on literally everybody. Like, everybody at this school at some point has been an object of affection for me.
I really felt like most people that I knew I had circled through having some sort of feelings for them, which is so funny. I would definitely do the, like, you know, sit in secret and just like them. But I would tell all my friends I liked them. So, like, I wasn't very secretive about it.
You didn't do that in my friend group because they would impersonate the person you liked on AIM and then tell you that they wanted to ask you out, and then you'd find out later that they were lying to you.
That's awful.
Remember how I said my friends in high school fucking sucked?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I wasn't kidding.
Yeah, my friends did not do that shit, thank God. But yeah, the self-deprecation and the like kind of depressed vibe. I got very strong like depression vibes. And maybe that was me projecting on this game just because like my depression started around the time I was 11. Mm-hmm. So definitely by the time like through the rest of middle school, through high school, like and it didn't have a name. Like I didn't get diagnosed until I was 19. So I was just depressed.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I said this before. I can't remember if I said this when we were recording. After playing LostMemories.net, while playing LostMemories.net, I decided to go back and read my live journal from this time period. And there's an entry on there where I'm like, my stomach hurts and I can't breathe and my brain keeps racing and I'm worried about everything. I wish there was a name for this.
Oh no, baby Misty. Oh no.
I read it and I'm like, oh boy.
Oh no.
Yeah, there were no words for what, like, to our experience, in our knowledge, there weren't words for it.
Right.
I took my senior or junior year of high school, I don't remember which, I took a psychology class. We had one psychology class, and I took it because I was like, yo, everybody I know is fucked up. I might be fucked up, but everybody I know is more fucked up than me, and I need some words. And I learned some words, folks. It was very useful. That class like kind of sucked. It was round one of I Hate Freud.
Fair.
But I was able to articulate a lot of the like jacked up shit that was happening in my friend group. That's where I learned that your brain chemistry takes a little backflip between the ages of 15 and 19. And it was good information to have that year. It was like that information was a lifeline for me. So I was like, it's okay. No individual person made exclusively bad decisions. This is a chemical reality that we just have to get through. But we really do have to get through it, don't we?
It just feels like, you know, when I feel like when you're that age, everything is the end of the world, right? Like everything is so.
Oh, I also learned the word catastrophizing, which got me some mileage.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, partially with my feeling of alienation with this game, is this idea of non-normative time. So I don't know who the originator of the phrase non-normative time is, but I learned the phrase from Kat Brewster in a Twitter thread that they posted on May 10th of 2020, 2 months into lockdown. And they spoke about how a lot of queer people specifically, and people who have had to deal with trauma, but their work centers around queer people. So they talk about things through the lens of queer experience frequently. How a lot of queer people have kind of non-normative experiences of time, and that centers around adolescence. And so I've been thinking about that and how I very much like that resonates with me very strongly, because I have always felt that I had to be older than I was. I've always very much felt like I've had a kind of an older experience of whatever life stage I was in. And this, I was talking to my roommate the other day and realized that if I had to choose, it doesn't quite work like this, but if I had to choose like some time that I skipped, it feels very much like it was early adolescence. Mm. My parents got divorced. I moved across the country. I made friends, but I wasn't interested in the things that my friends were interested in. And I was operating much more independently from my father than they were of their parents, partially because my father would allow me to do so, but also because he was a single father and he could only be so present while working 40 hours a week. And this game felt like time that I skipped over. Because it's that middle school era of like talking about boys and focusing on that kind of like social experience and exploring that social experience that I didn't necessarily have for myriad factors. And I'm wondering how or if that colored your experience of the game or feeds into your experience of the internet over time.
I think the idea of always feeling a little bit older than I was definitely resonates with me, just because like my childhood was tumultuous and I was forced into a caretaker role very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking back, I don't feel that I really had like a free childhood. I feel like I had a very like rigid, not free is the best way I can think to express it. And I think that carried through high school. And it was like when I got a little older, like I said, I actually ended up back on Neopets in my early 20s, where I was role playing again. And like, maybe I was a little too old to be doing that. I don't know. Who the fuck cares? I know plenty of people are still role playing now. They just do it like on Discord and stuff.
Mm.
But I felt like I was kind of returning to these places where I could be a child and I could be like mm-hmm. somebody different in that time frame. Like, I wasn't like acting like a child on there or anything, but I was returning to this space where I was mm-hmm. allowed to be whatever version of myself I wanted to be. And that yeah. was really appealing to me. And I think it's very similar to with like lastmemories.net doesn't like that wasn't my middle school experience whatsoever. My middle school experience was like being embarrassing because it's middle school. but it did feel a lot like my high school experience. And I think one of the things that I really appreciate about lastmemories.net is that when I play it, I look at Nina's expression and I look at the things she's doing. And there's a part of me that feels like maybe I should be a little like embarrassed about it or embarrassed on her behalf, but I'm not. I feel mm-hmm. super fond of Nina and I want to mm-hmm. protect her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And look, playing it as an adult now in my 30s, like I feel so protective of both the me who was doing this at, you know, age 22 or whatever, and the me who was doing this at age 13 or whatever, all the way. Like, I feel very protective of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because like I kind of, it's not that I regressed when I was in my 20s so much as like I was trying to find someplace safe, because your mid-20s, your early 20s are a scary time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was living on my own. I was dating somebody for the first time in my life. I think it was around the time when I started going to therapy for the second time. And so there was like all of these really complicated emotions arising, also depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so like looking back, it was not like a great time in my life, but like playing something like this allows me to look back on this, what could have been like regression or something like that. Not that it was, but like it could have been,
mm-hmm.
And feel positive feelings about it. Not nostalgia. I don't want to go back to that place. But to feel like, oh, this is a stage of growth.
Yeah.
And I find that really, really valuable. I know when I was in high school, I got very into an author, Tom Robbins, who writes these very, I don't know how to, almost psychedelic. I don't fucking know what was wrong with me in high school. But he writes these very strange novels that have this big sense of optimism about them and hope, which was very important to me as a very depressed teen. But one of them, I can't remember which, has a recurring line. I think it's recurring. But anyway, it has a line that's like, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And that like stuck in my brain
mm-hmm.
as a teenager. And like I carried it with me through those early 20s where I was like trying to capture that feeling of childhood because I didn't feel that I had it.
That feels so in line with some of what you talked about maybe not in line, but it feels directly related to some of what you talked about in your Variations on a Body review. Which is wild to me because I Googled this guy and the titles.
yeah. They're not books that I recommend.
Yes.
To anybody. They're quite often disgusting is the best way I can think to phrase it. But at the time I was reading, I was really into pop punk and emo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading a lot of Chuck Palahniuk. I was reading a lot of depressing fiction by old white men.
Yeah. The genre.
And like Tom Robbins sure is an old white man, but he has a very different approach to fiction that resonated with me so much as a teen. I needed somebody telling me it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
Yeah.
I needed that. And I didn't know it at the time. And when you brought up non-normative time, like, yes, that quote continues to stick with me today. It's all you, Nassim.
Yeah, I guess so. I was like, that sounded like a good place to stop. But yeah, briefly, I mean, yeah, the stuff that's in Lost Memories, I definitely did like that at the age that it happened. But I was also a caregiver from a very young age. And so I didn't really have much of a like, quote unquote, normative childhood either. But as I mentioned before we started recording, my mother likes to say that I am now going through like an extended adolescence. So I guess that hit me at around age 25. I think I started processing queer feelings when I was doing my first master's. So I was like 23-ish. And then I came out as non-binary around that time because I discovered the term. Thanks, Tumblr. And so you know, that's when I, and then I was also going through like, you know, I went through a career change and I, now I'm back in school, which I'm almost done. One more month and I defend. So there's, you know, the combination of that. And I finally have nerd friends that we just like hang out until really ridiculous hours. Not so much now because, again, about to defend in a month. So I feel like, yeah, I'm going through the time dilation-y things now, less so in high school. I think, and but definitely in high school and before high school is like, I am old. I always felt old. So now I'm like, ah, yes, I can be a child-ish again.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't really feel a need to reclaim that childhood. But my roommate who has not a similar life experience to mine, but a similar like age experience to mine, we're exactly the same age, we're both 26, we both for years since we were in college and some of our friends were already graduated have felt like profoundly old in our friend group. We're like, we'll sit down and we'll be like, why do we feel older than our 30-year-old friends? Like, what happened to us to make that why this is weird and bad and strange. And I'm okay with it, I guess. It's because it's always kind of been true about me since I was a teeny tiny child. I've always been like the oldest person in the group. But there's a sense, there's a certain sense of loss. I don't know that it's something I want to reclaim, but the dissonance between expected life experience and lived experience, it weighs upon you. And I think that weight is a profoundly common thing with queer people.
Yeah, I think so too. And despite the fact that this game is not, it is not about that. It is about a highly specific experience that didn't, I don't think, resonate 100% with any of us.
Yeah.
There's like, it's still like I said, when I look at it and I look at the parts of me that it does seem to reflect, I feel positively about them. I don't feel sad about them. I feel protective of them, and I think that's where the game succeeds the most for me.
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I had a profoundly unpleasant time playing this game. But that's not
I'm sorry.
That's not because it's a bad game. What you're saying is completely true. It's just that what it evoked for me was the reason that I'm not really interested in reclaiming that time.
That's fair.
Because all of what I felt was like alienation. And I feel compassion for that person, but like the me that was feeling the alienation, but that me hasn't changed. That part of me hasn't changed. I've just been lucky enough to end up in situations where I'm not, where aspects of my personality that I do not hate and am in fact perfectly comfortable with are not. Like, I'm in a situation now where I'm not constantly reminded that my experience of life is different than other people's, which is good. And I don't want to go back there.
Fair.
Yeah. If you did want to reclaim your childhood, I would not recommend trying to do it on Neopets.com, which is a fucking graveyard with the death of Flash. It is depressing. I am sad to see it. That is how I feel having logged on. I logged on and poked around a bit before we recorded, and like the maps are gone because of Flash. The games are gone because of Flash. And when you try to use one of the games that hasn't been converted to a new format, it shows you a little tombstone.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But yeah, I think this is kind of a nebulous conversation that we're having.
Yeah, well, it's because it's separated across 6 years and different ages of entry.
Mm-hmm. It's very... I always, like, when I was in college, I was a little bit older than my friend group because I took some time off. Mm. And there always seems to be this 6 year gap between me and my friends, which I find, like, why is it always that?
Is it that your friends who are 6 years younger than you are also all queer and had to grow up really fast?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah.
It's very funny because I'm like thinking about the interest that my friends, like my younger friends, have that I didn't have, and it's like there's a lot of anime there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the boom was when we were in middle school, which is like the perfect time to gain like internet independence if you're my age, right? Like, you know, personal computers were becoming affordable such that many, 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 many people could have them and internet in their homes, even if it wasn't like, you know, individual like kids had the computers, like there was a computer in the house. The internet was becoming populated such that it was an engaging place to be for an 11-year-old. For perhaps unrelated reasons, manga and anime were like taking the US by storm, and we were all like cognitively developed enough that we knew how to create fake email addresses and find pirating sites. So like it totally makes sense, and we had enough free time because we were middle schoolers that we could spend all of our free time using our smart little brains to find things on Manga Fox and read them.
Oh yeah, it's
the perfect storm.
It's so interesting to me, like how different this like 6 year age gap is, but at the same time, like how much of it is the same.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild.
Is there anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so. I have a fun fact from a manga industry professional. That's me. Yo, my life came full circle so hard. It's wild. I did not expect to be here, and I'm still kind of reeling. The manga industry, in terms of sales numbers, is experiencing a boom, a bigger boom than it has since 2005.
Interesting.
Yeah, now, right now, during lockdown. The book industry as a whole has grown a bit, like in terms of sales again. This is all in terms of sales. But throughout the manga industry, there's like a freaking wild boom in sales.
That's so interesting.
That's completely outpaced the rest of the book industry and is as dramatic as it was 15 years ago.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Really full circle.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. Thanks, My Hero Academia, I guess.
I was going to say, I wonder what it is. I still am extremely out of touch with anime.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's like many, many, many factors. I couldn't possibly tell you what they all are because I'm experiencing the consequences of it. And I'm very busy at work and I'm very tired.
Yeah, that's going to do it for this episode, unless we have another off-topic rant to contribute.
No, I actually have to go. So I just shot myself in the foot with that one.
so yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode. You can find us on the internet at sidequest.zone. That's where you'll find all of our game thoughts, capital G, capital T. You can also find us individually on Twitter or websites. I'm on Twitter at Melissa Brinks. I log on occasion, say something silly, and then leave.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at JamsterNazzy, which in 1 month I will be spending a lot of time on.
And I'm on Twitter at ZH Gilbert, where you can watch me tweet through physical therapy for my wrists that are deeply damaged because I spent my adolescence on the internet.
Oh. Is there anything we want to plug?
Coming. Hang out in our Discord, as usual. That's what I got.
It's fun in there. That's my opinion.
Fun in there. I'm still playing Vesperia. It's a better game than... It's a better game. Is it perhaps more offensive? Maybe. But it's better. It's like existentially less offensive.
Fun. That's a positive, I think.
I think it hates people with mental illness a little bit less.
That's okay. Something.
You can join our Discord. You probably know this because this is a Patreon exclusive podcast, but there's like a link I think you get when you sign up. I don't remember, but if you don't know, you can just ask and we'll get it to you. But it's fun in there. That's my opinion. Thank you to Alexander Nakarada for the use of the theme song Base The, which is used under Creative Commons License 0. And then go take a nap. You deserve it.
We all deserve it.
You're tired. We're tired. It's time to nap. Am I going to nap? No.
Good night.